There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This week on the program, is this the only slasher to feature extended sequences of magic throughout? It's Terror Train. I'm Andrew Jupin.
You'll want to take a transfer from the Terror Train. Steven Sadak.
Yeah, Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to what is our final episode of 2025. So we had to pick one that was sort of related to New Year's Eve. This is Terror Train from 1980, directed by Roger Spottiswoode, who you know as the director of previous episode Turner and Hooch.
Oh.
Stopper, My Mom Will Shoot. Also previous episode, he did Air America. He did Tomorrow Never Dies. He did previous episode The Sixth Day. And he wrote 48 Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What we'll a filmography.
Seeing, totally.
We'll be seeing a lot of him.
Yeah.
All throughout the life. Yeah. Going back to the Spottiswoode will.
So well, a regular.
What are you doing New Year's Eve? Well, I'm taking a train with a bunch of my friends.
And we're going to dress up like Halloween for no fucking
for
reason.
For no reason. And there's going to be a magician there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's going to be a very surly old conductor.
Well, this is what medical students do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's a suicide soda of a holiday celebration, I guess. you got Halloween in there. You got New Year's, kind of. Yes.
Like, there's the classy folks that have just like an Eyes Wide Shut kind of mask on.
Yeah, like a mascara.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to get down to some fucking that
exactly.
Night,
and that's totally fine. But like,
balls drop.
Lizard guy and like dude, Groucho Marx guy.
Wait, those are known sex people, right?
Yeah, lizard guy is into it.
Sure.
I guess so.
Definitely getting it, you
but
know?
As far as like being on theme for a New Year's Eve style event
he
and not
threw,
a fucking Halloween party,
he threw some cream pies, if you know what I'm saying.
That's like, I don't think it's known going into the party that everybody's fucking the way an Eyes Wide Shut party. Everybody knows everybody's getting down in some way, whether either they're watching or they're doing. And
right.
But this, I don't know if that's as known on the Terror Train, Holiday Express.
Is that what this is actually called? Oh, come aboard the Terror Train.
No, this is like a, hey, it's a fun medical school party. The question is, where does it start and where? Like, I guess it starts
great
at
question.
The school. Like, where are they going? Is
who
it like,
the hell
and
knows?
Then we're in Atlantic City for the weekend,
no,
baby.
No,
what they say it at one point when they're trying to figure out, like, if they can back the train up when he thinks he's found like the first, the conductor's like, there's a dead boy on this train. Hmm. And the guy says something about like, we can't back it up because we'll back up slower than the train behind us is coming. So we're not going to make it to the rail switch off area in time. So we got to keep going to the end of the line, which I think it's just a thing where like you rent this train.
Sure. Yeah.
And for an overnight ride, they just take you like to the next Canadian town.
Right. This is an excursion train. It's not like an Amtrak. It's not like a train you actually travel on to go places.
Got it.
Even I think the Catskills has one of these. It's just like, hey, look outside. And usually you do that during the day.
Yeah.
Look,
for all the leaf peeping and whatnot.
Either we're going to have a party, horror party kind of movie here, or we're going to have an unstoppable kind of movie going on here of just backing up and another train trying to get on us. It's going to be what you pick your movie, Spottiswoode. I don't care.
Yeah. I would totally fucking rent a train for the night and have like
really?
A big party on it. And there's like,
no.
There's like, you know, like cabins that you can go in and whatnot and like sleep and
I've always wanted a sleeper cabin. I've always wanted to do that. It's actually surprisingly expensive every time I've looked at it.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Like, why would you want to do the thing with like a lesser carbon footprint, have a cool alternative way to travel, and it's just as expensive, if not more, than planes?
I think they do it on the honeymooners, and I've always been like, that looks pretty cool.
Well, it's free, actually. You know, you get the freight train.
Oh, okay.
You. I mean, it's a lot in Europe. You can get it much easier. Weird.
Oh, could you believe it?
Strange. But I did the. I didn't do like an actual cabin where you can sleep just you and the person. We did. It was like four.
Okay.
Where you bunks. Had roommates?
Yeah, I had like roommates for a night. So like
well, the bunks with the
yeah, the bunks.
That's
yeah.
kind of what I'm talking about. That's not too bad.
That's what I have.
No. I need the privacy.
I know, Eric.
You got some fat crowd over there mourning the night away.
No, it was two. It was two college students went to bed way before I did.
Really?
Yes.
And were they scared of you?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to their doings.
I want to know these dynamics.
You'll want to steer clear of fat crowd. Oh, dude, yeah, fat crowd coming to a fucking cinema near you.
That was a different cabin.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to sleep on a train, and I would do the private car thing. There's absolutely no way I'm sleeping with strangers near me.
I know you've all slept on trains.
Yes.
New York City subway system.
Yes, in my 20s, that was what I did.
Sure.
Practically for a living.
That's the whole experience, pretty much, right?
Never lost your wallet.
No.
Somehow.
One time I went, was out with Andrew and another friend of ours, and I was living in the Bronx at the time, and I went, it was in the East Village. I got on the 6th Street in the East Village, and I fell asleep promptly to go to the Bronx. I went all the way to the Bronx, which is the end of the line, all the way. I woke up one stop earlier than I got on the train. At like 4 hours later. It was like the worst kind of time traveling.
And folks at home, if you don't know, the 6th Train is a local train, so it stops at a station like every 3 minutes or so. So it was a long ride for our sleepy friend.
And the conductor, whomever, let me stay in Pelham Bay for like whatever while they swept it or didn't sweep it.
Yep.
Totally zonked out and went all the way back.
Well, you know, people get mad when we talk about real places. So let's get back to the nether realm of fucking terror train. This is a non-existent location.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's Canada. It's
Florida for a while, right? Because there are gators. There's gators paraphernalia fucking everywhere.
Oh, I don't know where you're taking this train then in an hour where there's snow everywhere.
Yeah, I don't get it. Happening. But like there's like she has a Gators jersey on at one point. There's a bunch of gator.
Interesting.
What's it called? The triangular things, flyers.
Oh, like pennants?
Pennants, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but this train might as well say Ottawa or bus.
That's because also there's a bunch of X-Files actors in this.
There
absolutely
is.
So I was like, oh, we're Canada.
Yeah. Oh, it's this is folks will tell you is qualified as Canucksploitation.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, really?
This movie. Yeah. I don't know if that's actually true.
No.
But,
well, I guess
that's
this,
what Wikipedia
my Bloody Valentine would be in that world, right? That's a very Canadian movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, I would argue, is more Canadian than this.
Yes. Yeah. Because this one's a little, it's a little sheepish because you got Jamie Lee.
It's not working class enough either.
Yes,
that's the other thing. I think you need that.
So we do open on this vague medical college.
It's the 80s. We got to start at a bonfire. If it's a horror movie, we have to start at a bonfire.
Sigma Phi Omega. Sigma Phi Omega. We're all 35 now.
Oh, yeah, dude. And you got Jamie Lee is one of these students. There's all these like frat. It's a frat party. So there's all these frat pledges wearing these like Tweedledum hats.
Yes.
Man, just like count me out of any fucking Greek life interest.
Nope.
Like, goddamn.
No,
never have, never will.
Certainly past our prime now for Greek life on a college campus.
Well, I don't know about that.
You get inspired by old school? You rewatched recently?
Back to school.
Oh, back to school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm fat and tall.
But you don't have a child to do the main thing.
I'll pick up a child on my way there.
You get a kid on the way, but also, dude, he does a mean triple Lindy.
Sure.
So, stunt double not needed.
I have not seen you on the board, so I can't speak to it.
Yes, but, well, you will one day if you're lucky.
The thing that sort of really super Canadianifies this, though, is Canadian Dream. Hart Bochner is like this sort of male lead here, although I'd argue the craggly old conductors, the actual male
absolutely
lead.
Ben Johnson,
Ben.
Number one in the cast listing.
Wow.
I think he was the one that had been around the longest.
So Hart Bochner's nickname is Doc, which is interesting because
they're all doctors.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
They're all
trying
to be
doctors. Called it first.
Yeah.
It's like me calling you podcaster.
Oh, dude.
What's up, Pod?
Pod.
Yeah, Pod.
Hey, Cast. How you doing?
So it's like the idea.
I'm Tor. He's Doc and I'm Tor. Hi. We're friends. We do work together.
Oh, they sit on each other's shoulders to become a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
But so Hartbrockner as Doc, he's sort of like the stud leader of this group, and he sort of is seen giving a little signal to Jamie Lee, like, here we go, kind of a deal. And you can smell what's going on a mile away. This is a fucking sexual humiliation prank. Mm-hmm. One of the grimmest and greatest as far as right. cinema is concerned,
that's
I'd say.
Greek life, right? Like, you have to put pickles in your butthole.
Play with corpses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole deal.
Something.
Eat cum, whatever else.
And a lot of eating cum. It's this weird thing. It's like, oh, man, it's pledge night. You got to get laid. And it's like, and then you can take your hat off. It's like, oh, dude, I got laid this morning. You didn't see it. And it was great. Oh, it was amazing. She left.
No, we got to watch.
Uh-huh. I need proof. Laid myself.
Exactly.
Laid myself in the shower not 2 hours ago. Let me take this hat off.
It's just so fucking. I gotta fucking call mm-hmm. you, sir, and get you drinks just so we could be vague friends. No,
exactly.
Thanks.
No way.
It's this like master servant relationship. Mm-hmm. It's very
feudalism.
Homoerotic. And you just do the homoerotic without being part
suck
of some
dude's dick if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, you could do that without living in the same house.
I mean, that's all there, but like
happens all the time.
Yes, it
you
does.
Suck this dude's dick and then you go home to your own
exactly.
house.
It happens
yes.
every day.
And then you study and you get A's.
But like, it's also just a need to be punitive. Like the men at that age love that. They have a need for it to punish other people.
And also a practical joker, as I've always said, lowest rung of society.
Yeah. This is a real extreme case though, man.
Yeah,
this
is
a serious practical joke. Mm-hmm. So we get in there and
we set it up first because he's like, Hartbrockner's like talking to one of the other guys, like, and I shake my hand. And he has like this dead arm thing. Mm. And it's like, oh, is that real? He's like, well, it ain't. Is the Pope Catholic? So you're like, so you learn in 30 seconds. This dude is fiddling with dead bodies.
Yeah,
the kind of guy I want in my med school.
And sorry to break it to everyone, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but when you pass away, it's gonna be a sad day. Just know that there are people fiddling with your body. I'm telling you, it's going
to
happen.
Or they put you fucking 10 to a fucking urn like that other that HBO documentary.
Stock them five high, dude. And then light that fire up.
I don't mind it. I don't mind a mass burning or a mass burial. That's fine by me.
You, a couple of grannies, a couple cats all in one urn.
You just don't want to be fiddled with.
What do I care at that point? I just don't want to be fiddled. I want my holes intact when they burn.
Yeah. I don't understand. If you don't care about the burning, why do you care about the holes? They're not your holes anymore.
When I'm burnt in ashes mixed with other people, that's not getting this guy off.
It's fair.
In my mind. In my mind.
He doesn't
anyway.
Want to sexually right. please anyone that
Thank
he
you.
Doesn't.
No one.
But you know that guy. You know that guy from the crematorium documentary was just fucking splooging on those ashes, dude.
Well.
You're not escaping it. You are going to be molested
I know.
In the afterlife.
I'm just. Yes. I'm the one that recognized that first. Mm-hmm. I'm just letting everyone else know it's going to happen.
Sure. No, that's important.
So what else is going to happen is this dude, Kenny the Nerd, is going to get laid tonight, my friends. And he is being led up here. And Jamie Lee is like, gonna, and there's like another lady friend. I think this is Mitchie, who's like, oh, come on. So like the tees are going on. You're like, this guy's going to be sexually humiliated. He gets to the top of these stairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why does the second floor of this frat house, why is it decorated to look like a construction site / car accident? Because there's all these like sawhorses with flashing lights on them. Like there was a road emergency they stole them all from.
It's kind of fun to put street signs up indoors, isn't it, in your
street
college?
Signs, right. Not a fucking sawhorse with a flashing light on.
Ferris Bueller did some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's Canada. I don't know what they do up
art
there.
Installment, like bullshit. Yeah. That's like the only thing I could think of.
All I could think of is this movie doesn't know what it's doing.
Well, that. I was kind of taking it as like they wanted to like decorate the place and make it look sexy for this encounter, but all they found was construction equipment. Yeah,
that's a hard thing to do.
It is so weird looking.
Well, because you even find out because Mitchie and Jamie Lee's is it Ilana or Alana?
Elena.
Elena is like, hey, I don't want to. Like, is this going to be okay? She's sheepish because she's the good girl. You know, she's the one we're going to root for.
Absolutely.
And she's like, what is in the bed? And it's like, oh, don't worry about it. Wouldn't you smell it? Wouldn't you just
sense
it in the room? Something's off.
Maybe if you're a med student, you're dealing with corpses all day. It's kind of just...
Your nose is like totally fried kind of a deal. You don't
nose
even notice.
Blind, like a litter box in a cat house.
Exactly.
Well, yes. Would they like maybe try to perfume it a bunch?
Maybe,
cover it?
True.
Give her the old Mrs. Bates.
But even then, I feel like you would smell the mixture. Like, I'm with you. The corpse smell would be...
pretty significant.
Hard to forget.
Yeah. Well, this guy's so fucking horny, though. Yeah. He doesn't notice what's going on here.
Well, he's being forced to do this. This is forced horniness if I ever seen it.
But like when he gets it, he's ready to go. Here's the thing. Sign that you may be the victim of an upcoming sexual prank or sexual humiliation. Yes.
One year in a frat.
So that's your
every
day open season. But then also just like, I don't know, if you're going into a room and the person you are planning to sleep with is like, you can't see them, you can only kind of hear them.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get down to your tighty whities until you know that person
that
is definitely there.
Is the huge mistake. Do not take off all your clothes.
No. Yes. Yep.
Like you're going to go see the doctor or something.
You
do that together.
Yeah. Yes. I think I would trust my wife at this point with a blindfold. No one else.
No.
Certainly not in my teenage years.
Everybody else is telling me mostly that this lady wants to fuck me. It seems like. It's more... it's not Jamie Lee Curtis that's saying
it
as much as
I keep hearing it from others, but I haven't heard it from Elena herself.
That would put some red alarms up, I would say.
You hear it here, right? She's in the other side of this curtain.
Yeah.
Kiss me, Kenny.
They're orthodox, I assume. kiss me, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's doing so. She's like, this is my first time, too. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's humiliating.
Man. And he goes in and...
It is just a fucking old lady corpse that has already
dismembered.
Yes.
What do you call it? Their autopsy. It's all autopsy scars.
This is why I don't trust doctors. This is what they're doing, and they're in college.
Where did you first find this out?
Well, my uncle's a doctor.
So he brought you.
Trust me, it happens.
Is your uncle a doctor? Oh, okay.
Oh, never mind.
You are going to be okay. You're going to be totally fine.
My uncle said he fucked corpses. So then
I know he didn't. I just assume he did.
I see.
This is when I stop hanging out with Doc. Like this, not just Jamie Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking Mitchie. I'm talking
crew.
The whole gang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if this is Doc's idea of a good time, no. You are either buying into it afterwards or
no.
and forever you should be murdered.
You leave, you join Lambda Lambda Lambda.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you get your sexual revenge that way instead of murder.
You play Dungeons and Dragons and weirdly impersonate cooler guys to have sex with.
Right, yeah.
Dude, but I gotta say, so this dude, like, he gets up and he's freaking out and he gets, it's a four-post bed and they have, like, little curtains over it and he's getting, like, wrapped up in these curtains and he's all naked and they slow-mo this dude.
Yeah.
It's in real time while he's screaming, so it's like a bow, and it sounds like a lion roar this guy's just writhing in these bed
it's
curtains.
Crazy. And I could have really used, like, 3 years later or any information in between.
No, we do get
we
exactly.
do get,
do
we
do
get literally 3 years later.
Did we really?
Yeah.
I watched this on Tubi, and I don't think I have.
Oh, Tubi. Oh,
nice. Maybe I was
a little bit
not looking at the screen.
Oh, well, that could be.
Well, we got a long terror train, you know.
It's a cool title card. The big, like,
is it after the title card? Because the title card was so fucking long.
It's after the title card. The gates open.
That
the
title card's like
out.
10 minutes of this train slowly entering the station.
Yes.
Mm. It's a Lumiere Brothers film.
I mean, this movie looks gorgeous. It's shot by John Alcott, who did Clockwork Orange, Barry Lyndon, The Shining. Like, these are...
Can we get a light on set?
But it's the mood, right?
Not my tempo.
Well, yeah, we see it says 3 years later, there's a sign that's like, Steam Train Excursions, which is pretty cool. And so Jamie Lee's boyfriend, what's this guy?
Mo. Yeah, no
he's Jamie Lee's boyfriend here at this point, and he has said, he's rented this train... because she wouldn't let him buy her a graduation present, as he calls it.
Uh-huh.
What's the deal there?
Well, isn't it also a trick for getting her to go to a dock party?
It is. Yeah. It's a total lie, but his thing is like, I got you this because you wouldn't let me get you a graduation present. And I was like, what? is that conversation?
Like, yeah,
what,
I have no idea.
What is any of these conversations? What is their real relationship? You don't really dive in much on Mo.
You learn a little bit that Mo has got the money and Doc has the ideas.
Yes.
Something you learn.
More money, more problems.
Mo money, more problems. Yeah. Also, like, if I'm betting Jamie Lee Curtis in any timeline, I'm like, I'm going to tell my friends, I'll see you tomorrow. It's New Year's Eve. We're going to get a nice hotel.
Yeah.
I know you're like 20 or whatever, and you want to get wasted with the buddies, but
you
come on.
You can finger your friend's asshole another day.
Well, that's right. I mean, you do have to ultimately be on Kenny's side in all of this.
Yes.
Because he finally breaks the hold Doc has on all these people. Because clearly he's been doing this for too long. Everybody is obsessed with this guy and allows him to do all this bullshit.
Right.
And finally, and I understand it only comes at his demise, but really, that was the only way we were ever going to break free.
Yeah, he broke the friends free of this dude's charm grip, also by killing them.
Well,
there's almost no one
some
left.
Some people
here.
Have to fall. You know, this happens.
Death is the ultimate freedom, my friend.
That's true. That's so true.
I love this bus driver. So they take a big like coach bus or whatever to the train station, and this guy's like helping them get the luggage off, and like, this is a dickhead move where they're like, hey, man, you want to join? This old timer's like, oh, yes, I would, actually.
Yeah,
and they open up like this Altoid box, and it's like, there's a finger inside, and you fucking get the fucking fake finger. But then there's also J's. And I would be like, okay, ha ha. But me as the bus driver, you fucking turds offered me that New Year's Eve J.
Yeah.
Fork over the fucking cannabis.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just pick one out. He could have just picked one, right?
Yeah, like, haha, that's funny.
It's 1980. If they give you any guff, you just start putting the finger in their chest and you say, I'm going to call the cops.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
And in 1980, that's electric chair.
That'd straighten them out, dude.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are, for sure.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
So then we get the dude who I don't think we ever really meet, but it's the guy who's dressed up in the Groucho Marx mask.
Eduardo.
And he's like the, he's not the ringleader. He didn't organize this thing.
He's just like the joke guy.
Yeah.
He's got a couple of jokes.
But there's several of them.
Yeah, but he's the jokiest of the bunch.
It seems like there's one character stretched to three or four.
Because also Prez is a joke guy.
Yeah.
But he also is the president.
That dude's got some choice lines later in the film.
He's got some joke. He's like making jokes about like, you know, like he's the guy. Here's how you know he's
who are you talking about?
Eduardo.
Oh, okay.
And here's how you know. Not only because he's dressed like Groucho Marx.
Okay.
Because he's humping a blow-up doll in front of everyone while doing the world's worst prop comedy routine.
It's really bad. And yeah, that's right. You just reminded me of a bad line this guy has too, where like he's like humping this fucking blow-up doll. And then, because it's a blow-up doll and nothing happens, he's like, huh, of course, she's a lesbian. Yeah. And they all go,
polite clap. Can we get on the train? It's really
cold. Eduardo.
It's really cold. I hope he gets stabbed by a sword in a second.
And the inflatable sex dolls. Are we kidding? What were we thinking?
I don't know.
We've never perfected that one, huh?
No
that
there's
never,
been
never
lots
got out of
lots of ventures trying to find out where to put all the cum.
Mm-hmm.
And the sex dolls, they've had their chance. Honestly, they've gone come a long way.
I guess
honestly.
It's easy to clean. You dip it in the kiddie pool,
or you into the garbage.
Well, those
one
ones that
do that one use. Get that shit out of here.
The
please.
One that this guy has that looks like a pool toy you bought at a gas station. Yeah. Like that one, I feel like.
I just
that's
don't
a one-use pump and dump.
How is that even pleasurable?
Here's something. I invented this a couple of weeks ago. You wrap your hand around your genitals, you understand? And you tug on it until something happens.
Hold on, let me get a pen and paper.
Slow it down.
I don't think I would be able to maintain an erection while fucking a pool floaty.
No.
Just my penis going against vinyl like that.
There are some deranged imaginations out there, you know? Some people are just, they have to have that motion of the ocean to get the fascination going.
But that's why I think the real dolls became more popular, because that's a more accurate motion
of
the ocean.
Of course. Like whatever. Go going on.
You got the weight.
You guys all understand that, huh?
I mean, it makes more sense.
I guess it does. I watched Real Sex in the fucking late
90s.
Not these people. Old people. Old people who are really
old
gross.
People. You've been watching old people with the dolls?
Yes.
Well, then I love it's like, you know, I got a great idea. I actually just put a bunch of polyvinyl inside of a flashlight. You can fuck that if you want.
Oh my God.
See, that's the thing. I think the interest in like the realism factor is gone, because as soon as real dolls became a thing, everybody was like, that's really expensive. What if we just like took the component of a real doll that like the penis has to touch? You're good to go. And then it was like, all right, so we can have like fleshlights. We can have those weird torsos.
You're not storing a whole body in the floor.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's just a torso. I can keep it in the back of the closet. Those are the weird
Here's
ones.
Here's the thing. If you're closing your eyes anyway, just get rid of everything and go from the fucking beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on board with the hand agenda. Yeah.
I think some people might need like a stranger effect, right?
Oh, you
know? Yeah, like they don't want to know that it's them doing it.
Correct.
So they need to have the fleshlight to be the thing they're doing it. And you know, and now we're giving money to sex workers, because each one of them has to like gets to have their own version of it. Like, no, we definitely did it specifically to her measurements.
Oh, you know? Yes, yeah. Like
Yeah.
Now, how do they do that? How do they make that mold? Is that
molten
lava?
It's a huge lie.
I would say 80% of them.
It's for hopeless fucking losers who are so addicted to that shit that they're like, oh, if I bought this thing, it would be like fucking her for real.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of boyfriend and girlfriend now.
When you really think about it. We're dating.
Oh, boy.
Hey, speaking of creeps, David Copperfield's in this movie.
Yeah.
Right.
His only acting role. He's been in other things, of course, as himself.
He gets the hammer. And David Copperfield as the magician.
Mm-hmm. The magician. You just got to say that this dude's name is Corey or something.
Yeah,
Come on.
It's David. There's no more David here.
We can't do the name because we have to use him as a red herring to maybe be Kenny 3 years later.
Which kind of doesn't make a ton of sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Like, you know, because spoiler alert, Kenny is in drag as the magician's assistant.
Right. Yes.
That's an interesting thing we could talk about at some point. But like, it's just the fact that David Copperfield could be Kenny because they both sort of kind of look like each other. I don't know. Do I have face blindness?
And skinny, tall, dark-haired guy.
Yes. Kenny was into magic a little bit, we find out.
Yeah.
But like,
in the yearbook, he had a whole magic spread there.
That whole
thing.
We
should mention, now that the 3 years have passed, he's been in an asylum of some sort, right?
Yes. Yeah, we find that out, too.
You know, I kind of have that face blindness thing when it comes to pipsqueaks.
Okay.
And Kenny's a pipsqueak, and Copperfield in this movie's a fucking pipsqueak. So, you know, also, by the way, it's a fucking magician. You're not looking at that thing twice.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a magician. I'll be over here at the bar now.
Well, it's like trying to memorize a lamp. Like, the room. Well, no. Yes, I'm in the room. I get it.
I think that was the start. That's why he was so popular, though, is because David Copperfield was a hunk and was also a magician.
He grew into a hunk. He's not a hunk in 1980s territory.
He's like 80s sexy here.
I think you're really.
My God.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah.
Where are you getting this tall from? Is he a tall man?
He looked lanky.
Well, lanky doesn't.
He's 5 feet tall?
I don't know. He could be a short. There's short, skinny guys out there.
That's it. Let's go on.
Oh, no.
Let's go on Kalshi and bet on his height.
don't do that.
I will not be betting
Please
on his
don't
height.
Do that.
But the thing is, like, he's got like a dude that could have been in the early series of Battlestar Galactica sexy kind of vibe.
Sure.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
Working
I mean?
Working man's hot.
Exactly.
He's 6 feet tall.
He could date Elaine Benes. This guy could date Elaine Benes.
Dude, look at this guy. He fucked Christie Brinkley or whatever the fuck, or whatever bullshit.
Oh, wait a second. CelebrityHeights.com is weighing in with something different.
Oh, interesting.
Get to the truth here.
Another plane is at the tower. I had no idea.
This says he's 5 feet. 11 inches and 3/4 of an inch.
Okay.
Well, you know what? This is celebrityheight.com's business, okay? So they know their stuff.
And they're categorizing him as.
Just tell me he's not 6 feet. Just please tell me he's not 6 feet.
They're not saying he's a magician. They're saying he's an American illusionist.
Well, right.
Oh,
that's,
Because
I think some of those guys take offense to being called a magician.
Well, it's kind of great because you even get that in the beginning because you just sort of like. And the movie does a decent job of, they always keep the assistant like kind of out of focus. They don't want to zoom in too much. No. Like, I don't even think she has any lines until like you're kind of aware of what's going on.
Everything's out of focus. Everything is dark and dimly lit in this movie.
But he says to her earlier on, like when they're in the car, he's like, you know, I hate frat parties and blah, blah, blah. He's like, I need silence to do my illusions, which is kind of a great line.
I need silence to do my illusions.
This gentleman, by the way, in case you're wondering about David Copperfield, is worth $4 billion, according to Wikipedia.
That's insane. I believe it, dude. He's probably had so many Vegas residencies. This says, on Wikipedia, he's won 38 Emmy Awards. Nominated for 38. He won 21 of them.
Good for him, man.
He sold 33 million tickets and grossed over $4 billion, more than any other solo entertaining in the history by a large margin.
Take that, Carrot Top.
And that might be, you know, futzed with or something. Even being in the ballpark of $4 million for fucking making the Statue of Liberty disappear, God bless you. Do it already.
Yeah, you know, and I saw him as a kid once. Where my parents took me to a Copperfield show.
Really?
And he was magnetic. You could
really?
It's like how they talk about Hitler. You can't take your eyes off.
I didn't go quite there, but I understand.
It looks like he had a bunch of allegations in the aughts, though.
That makes a ton of sense.
I would like to denounce him. If I could go back in time and not see the chainsaw of death or whatever it was.
I was a big fan of his as a kid. Like,
is that right?
Yes, he would watch the specials, you know? Like, I would tape the specials and watch them again.
Didn't he have a pay-per-view that was really big?
Possibly. One of them,
I feel like my mom bought the pay-per-view because
fuck are we talking about? In the 1990s, magic was king.
It was.
To be clear.
Oh, fuck, he's on the Epstein logs.
Oh, of course he is.
You couldn't make that disappear, motherfucker?
No, that one had to stay.
And I'm going
to
make this paperwork disappear.
Well, he might have made Jeff disappear.
Oh, that's true.
The only way we can fake the suicide is getting the world's greatest illusionist in there.
David, it's your time.
See, oh, here you go. Stop making them Now You See Me movies where they're just stealing shit.
No.
It's a magician is hired to kill someone using illusions. Is that anything? That's got to be something.
It's got to be something better.
So he met with Epstein at least 3 times and left messages 16 times for him in the aughts.
Mm-hmm.
But his lawyers assist that he was never a friend of Jeffrey
Epstein's. I see. Yeah. Well, you know, you leave a sweater at somebody's island. You're like, hey, man.
I want the fucking sweater back.
Call it again about the sweater.
Yeah, it's being used to cover up a dead girl. I don't know that you're gonna get that.
Come
back.
Come on, man! Thanksgiving's next week. It's getting chilly out there, Jeff. And I don't have any other sweaters.
We learn also a little bit later about the magician. No one has hired him. He's not, because they're like, oh, I guess the magician just sort of showed.
Nobody
up.
Knows right, how he came.
Yeah. It's Doc didn't set it up, and Moe's like, well, I guess someone else had a good idea for a change.
Yes, so which is bizarre.
And that, I think, adds into the idea that could he be the killer?
Exactly.
I took that as him being like, I am Moe. I paid for this train party.
Uh-huh.
Moe wants a magician here. I hired the Moe-lusionist.
Oh,
so you're like, oh, I don't know why everybody got. Did they put cheddar on the sliders? I guess I kind of love cheddar on the sliders. Oh, I have no idea they put cheddar on the sliders.
I did pay for the funk band, the white boy funk band,
Crime.
Yeah,
the band Crime,
the band that I was calling the Robert Wool Experience last night with this dude with the hat.
Oh yeah, I wish they got a little more play. They do not. Interesting detail, and I would say a pretty irresponsible, dangerous, and stupid detail. Mm-hmm. This conductor, they're getting ready to you know, embark on their journey here. This conductor goes into the office or whatever, and there's this woman, maybe his wife, maybe not. Yeah. They have a cute little dance. She's wheelchair bound. I don't know what's going on.
Sure.
She's not a character after this scene. But what we learn here is that he's like, something, something. And as I may remind you, Maggie, the fucking manager of the office or whatever, this train has no radio on it.
Yes.
And he goes, I've been railing for years to get the owners to put a radio in, and they keep telling me, quote, we're not Amtrak. How do you not have a radio for communications? That is the dumbest thing.
This is just a party train. It doesn't need a radio. Okay?
You want to flush the toilets? This ain't Amtrak. What do you want here?
You can get a CB radio. They've been popular in cars for, what, 20 years at this point?
Oh, you can find it? Why don't you pay for it? Why are you coming to me, ask me, where's my money?
That's a good point, Shovel. Whatever the guy's name.
Oh, Shovel, yes. Totally. They're just nicknamed based off of what they do on the train, I think.
Know how much a fire extinguisher costs? And you want multiple on one train? This ain't Amtrak, buddy. Nice try.
emergency brake.
Party Trains LLC does not pay for radios.
And yeah, I just put an LLC at the end of Party Trains. We are not actually a real limited liability company. So all aboard, we're all wearing costumes like it's Eyes Wide Shut or whatever. Yeah, the class president sees the Groucho Marx guy and he's like, fuck yeah, great gag, man. And this dude's got a sword through his stomach.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which is, here's the ultimate sin of this movie, aside from, I think it looks good, but I can see why you think it doesn't look good.
He's a good cinematographer. I think he worked with better directors.
Oh, certainly.
In my opinion.
Oh, but, yeah. So almost all of the kills are off screen or there's nothing active about the murders.
Yeah. Nothing at all.
Which is what you want.
There's no effects either. Like no. Whenever someone's killed, it's like there's ketchup on their neck.
Yeah.
We come back later and there's ketchup and jelly.
Even the decapitated head ain't great, dude.
It's terrible.
It looks frozen.
Yeah, it looks very bad.
I mean, it's challenging to... Like, to me, it would be more interesting to try to get the frenzy of the tight quarters.
Yes, yeah.
And try to get that, even if it does look a little weird, to at least get it that way. Because that's what, I mean, you're taking the problem of having to shoot in a train, which is hard and a pain in the ass, and I get it. But, like, that is the bigger thing rather than trying to get the horror of it, which is what I'm more interested in here.
Right. So, you know, everything's getting underway. We're starting the party here. Hart Bochner and Mo go into like the senior car and they find a couple pledges in here. Again, wearing these goddamn Tweedledum hats.
That's, you have to, apparently. That's the thing.
Yeah. You haven't fucked yet. This is how you know they haven't fucked yet.
Yes, they mentioned how it used to be called Hog Night, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where you had to fuck.
If it's your first night Hog Night, you have to fuck.
But then the police came in and arrested all the people who were in charge.
Not exactly. We're still here.
It's great because he's like, oh, yeah, so many kids were kicked out and blah, blah. And then, like, Doc is like, not everybody. And I'm like, you're the ringleader. How did you get away from this?
Yeah. Cult. I'm telling you.
He wheeled out a corpse and was like, that. There he is.
And he's
arrest
still
him.
In doctor school. He's still in doctor school.
Yeah.
It is lucky that he did get murdered by Kenny here, because if not, he'd be in the Trump administration right now.
I'm telling you, Kenny is on the right side of history. Kenny. Oh.
Kenny had some good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Kenny's good.
So this is where, you know, it's one of the pledges or something is like, oh, they were just telling us about that glorious prank you did or whatever. So then he has to sort of like tell the tale. And it's like, oh, it was supposed to be a joke, but it just got out of control, blah, 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 blah.
Which happens a lot when I do them. I don't know why.
And then like Jamie Lee's walking in right here. So Elena like hears everything, gets pissed off. And she's just like, you know, oh, yeah, it was a real special prank. It put that kid in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. So, like, even though we don't see the aftermath of that prologue scene, we get a little bit more here of this dude went to some kind of hospital.
And again, like, if you agreed to be in the first prank, like, you have to be like, I'm not dating the guy that's buddies with Doc anymore. Or it's college, of course. Who cares anyway?
My boyfriend's best friend tricked me into standing inches away from a fucking corpse to do this sexual humiliation prank.
I think it's reasonable to do it. It's a him or me scenario.
Absolutely. Sure. So, dude, crazy line here. And again, just no interest in Greek life shit at all. Hart Bochner gives these two dudes like a bottle of booze or whatever, and they just go, thanks for the booze, sir. And just have to like walk out. I was like, man, I could not degrade myself like that. I really could not.
And he even says a little later, because he's like, oh, you want the good stuff, to his buddy Mo. And he's like, you don't want to know what I gave those pledges. So he's pissing and coming in that.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what's going on.
Holy shit.
Yeah, drink my piss. Drink my piss.
Drink my piss. Chug my cum.
Fine when you take off. It's very easy to take off these tops, but also it's not usually right to the top like it is. Right to the very top. Oh, well, that's. Wow. Ooh.
Is vodka supposed to taste like asparagus?
It's water. Yeah. A little watery.
Here we go. Finally, the fucking first kill of the movie. Here's our Eduardo.
Yes.
But not.
Yes.
In the Groucho mask,
well,
which also
Eduardo
looks like a little
killed.
Bit. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Not Eduardo. The dude,
Right.
This guy, Jackson, thinks that he's encountering Eduardo. Right.
But Eduardo's already been killed with the sword, and then he was pushed onto the tracks.
The train slowly ran over his head.
Which was fantastic.
Which I think you would notice as the train man.
You would hope. I mean, I don't know, maybe.
If it's right under there, dude, you can't see directly down.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a little, like, it's trouble getting going.
And probably just some trash.
And
come
here's
on.
The thing, dude.
I want the Mythbusters on this.
Spottus would paint a watermelon to look like a dude's head. I just want to see it get crushed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just a little something. It's dark out. I won't notice.
You see, I think, like, the train goes over, like, an arm. There's, like, a arm there or something, which, I don't know, man. Anyone can fake an arm.
I think Jackson is my favorite character in the movie. He seems like a really well-put-together guy.
Because he's dressed like the Gorn from Star Trek.
Number one is a Star Trek fan, which I appreciate. Or a Sleestak, possibly.
Or a Bosk, perhaps. I guess it was the same year, 1980. Mm-hmm.
Oh, right,
Bosk hit the big screen?
No, my brother did the Bosk outfit. I couldn't do that. I'm doing the Gorn. I'm going Gorn.
It was 1980 when Bosk was king.
I think V had been out, but what is it called? What was that called?
Alien Earth?
No, I think it's just called V.
There's also V.
Right. V has got lizard people in it.
Yeah.
But he's a nice guy. He's like, you know, oh, hey, Eduardo, let's have some drinks. He's not doing pranks.
Yes.
He's not telling bad jokes.
He's offering this guy the good stuff as well.
Yeah, come on, buddy.
There's no pisser coming this one.
He was barely involved in the first prank, Kenny. Let Jackson live.
That's true. He was just at the party. He didn't participate in the planning or whatever.
See, that's you start doing that, then you're trying to convince me that Mo should live.
No, I would not.
It's a slippery slope.
Mo looks like a fucking ham sandwich you left out too long.
He's the one who's in. He's a big X-Files actor. He's been in bunch of them.
Off-market Chris Mulkey over here.
He is off-market Chris Mulkey. And the one that I remember him specifically being in is the fake Lake Placid one.
Oh, really?
Where it's like Mulder's like, hey, Scully, I'm pretty sure there's something in this lake similar to the Loch Ness Monster.
Uh-huh.
And that dude, I believe, gets got by whatever the creature is at one point.
He's in the our town when it turns out that they're eating people every...
Turns out it ain't our town. Huh?
No, exactly. Exactly, Eric. Yes, and he's the guy who ends up running the town at the end of it.
This is a pretty cool kill, I think. Even though I'm anti-Jack.
Just hitting him into the mirror?
It's active, at least.
That's true.
It's a good mirror break. I do appreciate it. Also, it's a nice... he lifts the Groucho mask up, shows him who he is, so he knows why he's being killed. Here I am, it's me, Kenny. You sexually humiliated me 3 years ago.
It's me, the magician.
Shoving his face through the mirror, though, is pretty fucking sweet. It's a good effect.
How's Annie?
Well, that's the thing, is you get more corpse flops after this. Mm-hmm. There's no more active kills. Like, I was expecting at least once we get like an overhead shot of a close quarters something, maybe.
Right.
And then you don't have to see who's doing it. You can still have the mask on and everything.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
So we got a lot of magic in this movie. And it starts here because the assistant tells him, because he's like, oh, man, like these kids, and it's going to be loud. I think it's around the time of I Need Silence for My Illusions or whatever. And someone, I think it's the assistant, maybe someone else makes the suggestion, like, why don't you go out there, do a little bit of close-up magic, you know, warm them up before the real show starts.
Uh-huh.
Go out there, do a little crowd work. So he does this cool sticking a cigarette through a quarter trick, and he has Jamie Lee sexily light the cigarette through the quarter.
Well, he's flirting with Jamie Lee Curtis.
How could you not?
And he's already, of course, he has gotten, the anger of Doc has already risen because someone else has attention.
Dude, and
Doc is a baby. Doc turns into a baby.
Every time they cut to Hart Bochner and he's like, fucking just trying to ruin this dude's performance, yelling out like boring or like, oh, that's a trick they teach you in the third grade. It's like, you know what, dude, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't have any real interest in close-up magic, but I also know that I can't just do it and it's not an easy thing.
And go to another train car and get drunk or something.
At some point, somebody in the room has to say, here, get him his binky. Let him suck. He just needs an attention. He just needs something to put his attention to.
And then we trick him and the binky's actually my cock.
Ooh.
Well, that's like a frat prank.
Oh, I see. It's a frat prank. I see.
It's a frat style.
We should say also Jamie Lee is pissed at Mo because in that earlier scene, she finds out that this was all Doc's idea, and she's like, oh, I didn't want to be on a Doc party. And I'm like, you know how you do that? You say, is Doc going to be there? Then I won't. And
you,
then
and you also don't date his best friend.
Exactly.
Like, you had to have heard for weeks about the train party.
Yes.
Like, of course Doc is coming.
Yes, but no, but this is all Doc's idea. She's like, you said it was your idea. And Doc's like, it was mine. That's... He's got the money. I've got the ideas.
Right. I mean, if you heard nothing else, that he had a plan to ensure that the one person who didn't want anything to do with him would have to deal with him for a fucking night. Unbelievable.
Because that's right. He says, like, she's like, he's like, you know what, Elena, this is the best party because you can't leave.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, I forced you to be here. I'm so cool.
Isn't it funny how cool I am?
That, like, the death is pretty good, but it's not nearly as, it needs to be
deaths. It's a good idea.
Yes. I need several
it's
deaths.
It's a good
for
idea
this
that
man.
I'd love to see.
It needs to be the end of Halloween Ends, that fucking machine crusher thing. Yeah, that's totally. Where Doc needs to go inside.
I need Doc. Good. Status hamburger.
We also have I love the conductors kind of talking to each other.
Whenever we cut back to the conductor's office car and they're just sitting there.
It's a quaint little movie back there. Uh-huh, and this one guy's like, this young guy's like, I love working on the trains. And what with these gas prices these days?
That's
well,
shovels.
I'll be taking
shovels. That's fucking shovels, right, dude. Yes. Shovels has this notion that, like, train travels coming back to the United States. And I was like, Shovels, I got some bad news for you.
And our lead is like, hey, I got it's kind of a hilarious, like, moment where he's like, just a little indicator. Have you ever seen a train track near a mall? That's all you need to know because malls are the future, my friend, and trains are not.
And I'll be up on the Concorde and you'll be on welfare. Wow, bud.
Concorde.
Dude, I got some news for you, pal. In the present day, the Concorde's been gone for years. Train travel's still fucking horrible.
Yes. Malls are gone.
Malls are dead. Malls have been dead for 10 years.
Welfare also gone for the most part.
I mean, I would love train travel to make a comeback.
I would love it. It's great.
Dude, I want those fucking high-speed goddamn light rails,
that'd be great.
Dude.
That'd be great.
New York to Chicago in fucking 2.5 hours. Are you kidding me?
Sure.
Another 70s thing that this, because it's 1980, but it's the 70s.
Yeah.
This guy's like, and on the side, why I'm going to be on the Concorde, you understand, I'm selling RVs. The idea of the recreational vehicle being a road to success.
How'd that go, Roger? Is that another 10 minutes? We're good now?
I think the thing with the RVs that's funny, though, is it's not going good, dude.
Oh, yeah,
because he's like, why do you think I still have to work this train job and I can't just be Mr. Winnebago Man?
I just got taking a bath on all these. I don't know why I bought four. I thought I could sell four in a year. I couldn't.
I thought those vacation movies with Mr. Chevy Chase would get people on the road with the family. You're trying to make an adventure of it.
Is this supposed to make me, like, empathize with this guy?
I think so. He's going to folk the old man yeah. that you're supposed to like.
Oh, damn. It didn't work.
He's also doing magic tricks as well.
Of course.
Everyone's doing magic
like
tricks.
50 minutes of magic in
it's
this
It's magic
movie.
Trade. Let's call this movie magic yes. trade.
He's doing fucking joke magic tricks, yeah. though, which yeah. is even worse. Like, yes. it's not an actual yeah. illusion of any kind. It's like a knot trick that has a punchline at
yes,
it.
Yes, Abercut don't.
Somehow worse than actual close-up magic is fake jokey
close-up magic. And he's like, oh, magic. Is that, yeah, your card, he's like, oh, your jack of hearts turned into jack of spades. Hey.
Yeah. Is anybody liking this?
Hey, Raj, are we good on that one?
Does this have us rocketing towards a feature-length runtime?
Did
or
you
what?
Drink enough? Did you drink enough? You've been entertained yet?
So this is, Elena has a little fight with Mo here, and this is like the, fuck, man, we're fighting at the party. The party just started.
It's a New Year's Eve party. You got to fight. Yeah.
We're fucking fighting. God, and it's just like, oh, man. Like, you that feeling of, like, two people, they're just going to be pissed off at each other for the rest of the night. Everyone's going to be fucking miserable. And the thing that's worse, you're stuck on a train.
Yes.
And there's a magician running around.
And also, it's a New Year's Eve party. We need a little something. When is midnight? What's going to happen? Right.
They are completely unconcerned with the clock striking 12.
Right? There's no countdown. There's nothing.
It's bullshit.
And they're in Halloween costumes. I don't even understand any of this.
Well, it's I think literally like somewhere in, because this movie was, I think it cost like whatever.
$2.
They expected this movie to make $40 to $50 million because they put Jamie Lee in. And I think that the holiday was part of it. It's just, it's in that equation. Even though it doesn't matter, it's
well,
like.
Then you call it New Year's Evil. Yes. Or Eve or something. You know, right. You can't, it's Terror Train. I don't think of New Year's Eve when I think of
it. No, it's totally inconsequential.
The absolute wildest thing, I totally forgot about this, but the wildest thing about this cheap nothing movie is that it was distributed in the United States by 20th Century
yes.
Fox. You have the massive 20th Century Fox fanfare at the start of Terror Train.
Yes,
it is just, it has bust written all over it.
Maybe
dude.
That's why they got that Bosque costume.
Yeah, maybe.
You're going to need that anymore? You're not making a Terror Train 2, are you? Can we take this?
No, we most certainly are not.
Oh, wow, I get to hang out with the guys who made Terror Train. This
hey,
is
cool.
These are, you know, it's a pretty exciting, it's kind of like a little bit of a Millennium Falcon horror movie. What if a yeah. horror movie is on a Millennium Falcon?
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd also watch that. I'd watch that in a fucking heartbeat. Oh, no, Chewie, there's a fucking mass murderer on board. And it's not me. I'm talking about a different mass murderer.
Chewie, this guy in the bathroom put someone else's arm on me. And then it cut, like, I guess I'm dead and I'm out of the movie. Is that right?
Oh, who's that hiding away in the Millennium Falcon? Oh, my. It's mystery writer Agatha Christie. Hello, yes. Agatha. How are you doing tonight?
Chewbacca. And then in the little subtitles, like, I was sexually humiliated years ago and I had to start killing people. Every life day I have to kill people because I was sexually humiliated. A sexual prank gone wrong on life day.
That'd be yes. amazing.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm liking this. I'm liking this. We get a little bit of details about the last murder of the dude in the lizard costume because Doc's lady friend here, Mitchie, is like, oh, geez, I got to pee or whatever. And she goes to this bathroom door and, the bathroom door is locked. They just start like open mouth kissing right in front of it. There's a lot of actors tongue kissing in this movie.
Got to do
course,
something, dude.
Just something to pass the time, including now here it is. We had the warm up act. We had the little cigarette through the quarter. Now we got the fucking main event, dude.
Full on 4 minute magic sequence.
Just soaking up the clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. And he's doing, I mean, this is pretty cool. I like where he's like, he dumps the cards in the glass vase.
Yeah.
Then they're just like disappearing as they go through it. And then like when he runs out of cards, he keeps like producing them out of his hand to throw away.
Yeah.
Pretty neat little trick here.
I will say for Copperfield's credit, to be able to get a drunken frat house to care even a little bit.
Even the littlest bit. To give you the littlest bit of attention.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
But the awkward thing, and again, because it's just we're making this movie in the late 70s. It is what it is. He is doing these magic tricks to straight up porno music.
Yeah, of course.
It is just fuck tunes, and this dude's playing with playing cards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, the bass player is the real star here. Crime. I forget which one is the bass player in Crime, but he stole the show.
He does the thing here where then the assistant lays down on the table and he makes her, you know, levitate and he's putting the hula hoop through her. Pretty traditional
How do you magic set show. This apparatus up on a train? That it must. He needs to show up 2 hours early. Like, all right, where is this room? How big is it?
It is crazy that he just shows up when everybody else is. But we didn't mention it is a funny moment. It's what I thought looked to be tiny David Copperfield pushing this huge crate of magic gear with him. Oh, like he's a band doing load in.
It is very confusing. Like at one point there's like where he makes himself like disappear and he becomes the assistant or whatever.
At some point. Yeah.
But there are people standing behind him while he puts this curtain up. Mm-hmm. It's like there should be a stage where he's doing this.
Yes.
Because obviously they would see how it's done or maybe he's really magic.
It's real magic.
What if he's really magic?
It's real magic. Yeah.
Better movie.
Well, I think that's something that they talk about in the trivia was Copperfield was like talking about this movie somewhere and was talking about how it is really hard to like have your tricks filmed because like you don't want people seeing how you're doing stuff. And I think with those, it is just fake movie magic.
Yes, I think some of them are definitely that.
Yeah, because it's like we can edit here. Yeah. So, you know, kind of whatever. But yeah, he makes her disappear or whatever. And then this is where, dude, another Hart Bachner fucking yelling about this guy. He's like, yeah, you can make her disappear. But I wonder if he could ever make her come. And like no one cares, which is really great. Everyone's looking around like, Doc, here's the thing, man. We're kind of enjoying this magic show. Yeah, yeah. You're ruining it for everybody.
And you couldn't make her come either. I mean, he didn't like the dead body.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where...
Twist incoming.
Mm-hmm. Twist incoming, indeed. Here's where we get a little bit of Doc being more of a scumbag because Mitchie notices from like far away that he's walking off with... It's Vanity, by the way. Vanity in this movie.
Wow, yes.
Oh, yeah.
What did Vanity sing?
She had a bunch of tunes. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
She was involved with Prince for a while, right?
Oh, okay.
And then she was in The Last Dragon.
Oh, yes. Great film.
Yes. Yeah. Just rewatch that recently.
She played a musician in that, right?
Yes. I believe so, yeah.
Wonderful musician.
So, like, yeah, he's walking off with Vanity, who's just going by D.D. Winters in this movie. But so Mitchie notices that, and she's all sort of heartbroken or whatever. And then here we go. Finally, some fucking intrigue in this movie. We have... there's a girl going up to try to open that locked bathroom again. And the conductor's like, oh, you know, why don't you go down to the other end or whatever? And he opens the door with this pass key. And I love this dude. He comes in and you see him slowly look over all the remains of Jackson. Mm-hmm. There's a fucking murdered Star Trek Gorn on the floor of the bathroom. And he just gives a good, my God.
Yes.
Oh, dude. I was like, that is why you hired this guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he came in for the audition, you just went, sir, all we need you to say is my God in your most like stunned, you just found a corpse voice. And he nails it.
Yeah.
And then he tells the other
conductor
brakeman or whatever. Yeah. And then like what you said, he can't go backwards or whatever. And eventually he takes the other guy to see this corpse and it's all cleaned up.
Yeah. It's spotless.
I'm like, is the mirror unbroken in this?
Yeah.
Snow?
Good question.
Oh, right. Yeah. I didn't notice what the
I would
glass
at least be mad
like.
About the window. You're going to pay for that, son. So the blood's all gone. He's in the costume again, the lizard costume. And it just looks like that he had been drinking a lot.
Because he's like, this Kenny is a bit like Mega Man. Like when he defeats someone, he gets to take their costume and their powers.
Their costume powers. Yeah, exactly.
And it's, which I think. Again, like if you're trying to make something new in the 80s horror genre, like I could see it because it's like, oh, there's no one costume, but then there's no one costume. So it's like that's now there's no, if I'm dressing up as, you know, Kenny, how am I going to do that? You know what I mean?
You mean for a real life Halloween party where you would want to go as Kenny from
Terror
Train?
Yes, exactly. Or like for this to seep into your consciousness, like, wow, that's a cool costume
that's why
I will be thinking about after the movie's over.
But that is why I think in the trailer it's kind of prominent, and on the poster it's 100% prominent. It's the Groucho mask.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think even on the poster they give him a little conductor's head.
I like that when he's got the conductor's outfit at the end, and he's got that weird, like, translucent.
Yes. Yeah, it's a cool
that's
look, a cool too.
That's a great look.
Yeah, that's
I want to wear
frightening,
that every day.
At least.
The conductor telling the brake master about the dead body, though... Yeah. This guy's reaction is like he just found like a dead squirrel in a pool.
Yes.
He's just kind of like, hey, There's a dead boy in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He's like, all right. Do you want me to get a net? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, you've been conducting as long as I have. You've found numerous bodies in the bathrooms throughout your life. You know how we do this. We take the body out, we put it with the coal in the little furnace, we cook it up, and we never speak of it again.
It's probably true.
Did he shit in the toilet or did he shit outside? I hate when they shit outside the toilet. Okay, if there's a dead body but there's no shit outside the toilet, then I'm okay.
Oh, like, that's fine.
Like when he dies, he shits, you,
yeah,
right?
Is little, that little, you little, little BE, yeah, dude, bowel evacuation.
Not bowel evacuation. You got to try to die on the toilet. That's a proper gentleman's death.
That's a gentleman.
Elvis, gentleman. You know, he's a southern gentleman.
Well, I don't want to make a mess for anyone else to clean up.
Yeah. Oh, there goes my 21 grams. Thank you very much.
Well, do we know, did he flush? I was.
I don't think so.
If he died on the toilet, I mean.
Yeah, he probably did.
Although, you know, if you get.
How about a courtesy flush?
I was wondering.
Oh, that's, sure. That's,
well, if you, maybe you're dying and you're on the toilet and you get the finger on the trigger. Like, if I go, we all go, man.
Oh, a dead man, a literal dead man switch on the toilet.
For the flush.
You're going to see it all. You're going to see all the banana and peanut butter sandwiches.
That will fucking get you dead on the toilet, dude. You keep eating those things.
Absolutely. Good God
with
almighty.
A pound of bacon on top.
Mm-hmm. Plus all the pills.
Of course.
He was an unhealthy man.
But kind of a cool, I mean, I just don't think the movie has a great handle on it. Like the, well, what happened in here thing? And the other guy is,
yeah.
Now it's like, oh, he's drunk. And like, it's the mystery part. And that's always kind of the problem with these slashers. The mystery is never that great because the mystery has to be that it's a slasher. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a slasher movie. So we know that you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always, you know, there are a few good, like, mm-hmm. slasher whodunits. You know, like, the first Friday the 13th is a slasher, yes. whodunit. There's ways to do it and make it interesting. And this, I feel like they're just kind of bending over backwards to make the mystery happen, even though, like, you just, it's the guy who was sexually humiliated 3 years ago. Yes. You know it. It doesn't matter.
It's at the bottom of the list. You should be working on really good deaths. And like, if you're obsessed with this humor, I don't know why you're packing it this much with this stuff. But if you do want that, maybe make it good. You know, that crazy thought, I know. But like, maybe do that.
Sure.
And maybe just, I do. How do you explain that, like, they cleaned up all the fucking body shit?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you're going to do the whodunit thing, maybe move that scene from the start into the middle of the movie as, like,
a flashback.
Here's what happened.
When Hart Bachner's telling the story to the underclassmen or whatever, like, that's a place where you can have that flashback.
Also, Chris, they had two choices. They had a choice between one or two things. They could have a script doctor to pudge up the script and have it make sense and be funny and interesting.
Sure.
Or you can get magicians, and I think we know where you want to put your money if you're a major motion picture.
Magicians, that's money on the screen.
That's true. That's special effects without paying a special effects budget. Exactly. That's what that is. In between the conductor finds the body and then brings the other guy to go look at it, there's a scene, just a quick thing, where here's Mitchie, and she's going around. There's this dude wearing a donkey mask.
Uh-huh.
And... Yeah. Maybe I'm just a crazy old pervert. I don't know.
Sure. Oh, really?
But Mitchie comes out and the guy is like, you don't really, it's like, hey, you want some or something like that. And the guy's being filmed from behind. You can tell he's got this jackass or this horse helmet on, whatever it is. And she goes, oh, just this once. And she gets down on her knees and puts her face in this guy's crotch.
Yes.
And I was like, what the fuck? And then she comes up holding this J. Yes. Amazing fake out. Nice. Amazing fucking fake out.
Maybe David Copperfield blocked that scene as a magician. He knew how to fake out the audience. Sure.
By the way, Mitchie. What a name.
Mitchie.
Huh? Apparently it's short for Michelle.
Michelle,
I've never heard of that.
No. I knew a Michelle growing up.
Named Mitchie?
They called her Mish.
Mish.
Michelle.
Yeah, Mish. That's twisted too.
There's this bit where, like, so he, Mo is like kind of, they're in an argument about the whole doc situation. And then this other sexy blonde kind of whisks him away.
Oh, Toy.
Her name is Toy?
Oh, no, Toy or a Pet. I think it's Pet.
Pet.
It's one of those. I think it's Pet.
She whisks him away into another room. And now Doc, who's supposed to be his friend, he's like, oh, hey, Jamie Lee Curtis, go in the other room where Mo is. He wanted to see you. So he's trying to fuck this dude's whole shit up.
He absolutely
this is why
is.
You do not be friends with Doc or join a fraternity.
Well, because he a prankster of this level is always going to take his prank status way more importantly than his friendship status, his lover status. To have a prank like this for, and that's what he thinks of it. It's like,
Oh, you got caught with your girlfriend with some other girl? Prank.
That's right.
It's a classic doc prank.
That's what I got. You ruined your relationship. Prank.
So,
oops, you tried to fuck a corpse. Prank.
Oh, you did fuck that corpse. Prank.
Someone's grandmother butchered in bed.
Sorry, officer. Prank.
Sorry about that necrophilia prank we had back there.
Sorry I took your gun out of your holster. It was a
total prank. Total prank. Classic prank.
Jackson's parents thinking they're going to see their son tomorrow. Prank.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
They go back to the fucking bathroom here, and then this is drunk and stoned Mitchie.
Yes.
Comes to the door, and she's like, oh, it's Jackson. She's calling him D-Jack, I think, or something. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'll go take care of him or whatever. So then they wind up going to the bunk beds, Mitchie and fake Jackson here, which is really our murderer.
And they're going to get down to the naughty stuff.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
He doesn't. He's about to pull a Robert Carradine in Revenge of the Nerds because she thinks it's Jackson. She's about to go for it. And then he murders her instead, which I think is more ethical, I think.
Yes, I think so. He presents Jackson's hand for the dead hand prop.
The hand comes out and touches her, and she's like got her eyes closed, like fucking ready for it or whatever. And she's like, ooh, your hand's cold. You know what they say, cold hands, warm heart. And then at that point, this murderer, Kenny, drops this severed head on this woman's tits, and she starts going crazy.
Yeah. And you don't see her get killed. And it's
the conductor find her later.
Yeah.
With the raspberry jam all over.
Yeah. You spilled something from the breakfast cart all over your throat.
Oh, Billy Mitchell's hot sauce is all over you.
This is a scary movie. Scary.
Here's a scary part, dude. You got David Copperfield. They cut to him. He's like staring daggers. And you're like, what's going on here? He's watching the student body president, who's dressed up as like Uncle Sam or some doing this like Louisiana Southern guy kind of thing, where it's like he's pretending to be like a Louisiana guy running for some sort of office, and he's like, he's using some slurs for Arab people, which is terrible. And then he's like, euthanasia for all the welfare recipients. That's on my docket. Oh, yeah.
It's crazy that everything he said is now the Republican Party.
That's the platform.
Pretty much.
Six football franchises in Louisiana.
Oh, right. Yeah. We're going to expand the NFL, but there's going to be six teams in Louisiana alone.
Jesus Christ, man. No, you know what? Kenny. Get to the gears of the train, crash it all. Take it off. Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Well, pull that emergency cord.
Prez is like sixth in line, possibly, to fuck Jamie Lee Curtis, and he likes those odds.
And he was trying to work his way up the ladder earlier in the film because he's like, oh boy, yeah, Mo, what a deadbeat. Uh-huh. If you ever want to talk about it, and I mean it, just talk about it. I was like, I see where this is going, fat guy from Pee Wee.
Yeah, wave my finger, Porcus Piggy. No.
I do around here too is where David Copperfield hits on Jamie Lee, and it's a really good do you believe in magic, and she's like, oh, my vagina just dried right up, and he goes, I'll have to convince you. And I was like, oh man, no you don't,
just stop.
In the background here, did you notice this is one of the best shots you get of this guy? There is a dude, and I think this dude thought it was more of an Eyes Wide Shut party than not, Eric, because he's wearing a gimp mask.
Oh, yes.
Just a dude in a gimp mask. And at one point, you see the guy smoking a cigarette through the zipper mouth.
Which is amazing.
I loved it.
Now, this is appropriate. This is a party.
Yeah, now we're talking. Now it's a New Year's Eve party. Yeah. The gimp came.
This man knows that he came here to get laid. That's what he is here to do. God bless him.
Jamie Lee leaves, and this is so the conductor, whatever his name is it Ben Johnson? The actor.
Carney,
Carney, Carn.
No, they say Carney. Like I think it's Jamie Lee is the only one who ever says she's like Carney.
Oh, okay, so it's Art Carney over here,
spelled like carne asada. Yes,
delicious.
Hell yeah! Oh, this delicious train conductor,
carne asada Johnson.
He finds he finds Mitch, and then he like covers it. Oh my goodness! Oh, that's
oh right.
I was totally right. It was there was a murderer. There must have been something funky about the other guy. And he has her shoe, and then here comes Jamie Lee, and it's the weirdest scene in the movie where he like he grabs her. He's like, "Do you know who owns this shoe?" It's like, "That's my girlfriend, Mitch. I love her. She's the best." He's like, "Oh," and he takes. He's like, "You have to come with me." Yeah. Why are you breaking the news to this one girl because they said that they were best friends? It's going to cause either tell everybody and be like, listen, this is a big problem,
well, the thing
or
is, tell
no
you
one.
Why, because he cried wolf to the other conductors. And he doesn't want to tell them first. He wants to get someone else to confirm it.
I think you're right. I don't want my coworkers to think I'm totally crazy just seeing all these dead bodies on the train.
Exactly, because then they think you're doing a prank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's pretty soon after this that they do stop the train, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he like awkwardly like hold her?
Yes, he's like holding
her to the ground.
Because he's like, you have to come with me. And they go back to their quaint office car, and she's like, oh, it's twice now, and I think a third time it happens where Jamie Lee's character is concerned someone fell off the train.
Yes.
Like, that's a thing that constantly happens. Mm-hmm. And so she says, oh my God, her shoes there. What happened? Did she fall off the train? He goes, no, she didn't fall off the train. She's dead. I was like, dude, you just don't answer the question about falling off the train. Get right to she's dead.
And then he's like, well, we got to convince this pretty girl. I'll show her dead friend. Here's your dead friend. She's right here. Look how dead your friend is.
You're going to be a responsible man here. I can do nothing about this.
Well,
I can't do anything.
You're a med student, aren't you? Don't you want to, maybe you'll do the autopsy right here?
Pound on her chest. Isn't that what they do?
It's kind of weird that none of them use any medical experience to do anything.
Apparently all you do in med school is fuck with corpses, which is, I guess, to your point, Eric.
It's
what they
do.
But yeah, Jamie Lee just like immediately breaks down. I was like, finally, there's some good like Jamie Lee Curtis acting in this movie. Like, she does this scene pretty well. And then this is where I think Copperfield vanishes, because he's like, oh, or he doesn't vanish.
The Statue of Liberty disappear.
Ah, yes. Not on this train. He transports himself to the other side of the car.
I see.
Because it's like, guess you're going to put a sheet over me while I'm sitting on this chair.
Oh, yeah.
And then the lady's going to hold up however many fingers she wants to, and then I have to guess it.
Mm-hmm.
So she holds up 7 fingers, and then he's like, all right, pull it off. And he's not under the sheet anymore, and he's across the way. I feel like this one is a... we're just using the movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And then he's like, oh, by the way, it was 7 fingers.
And this is when, which drives me nuts in this movie. It's one thing to have the Mitchy scene where it's like this kind of cool, you know, oh, sexy scene. Uh-oh, something bad happens. We cut right before the bad stuff happens. Mo and Doc are hanging out. And Doc is like, right, Mo? Right, Mo? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mo's been killed. I'm like, when the fuck did that happen?
Nobody knows. No clue.
No clue.
I was like, somebody shot him.
He's in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Seated there. And he falls over and he's got the strawberry jam on his chest.
Well, that's the thing. Because of that, I genuinely don't know what happened to him.
I do not know.
It didn't look like his throat was cut.
No.
When Hart Bachner opens his shirt a few moments later, there's bloody. Like a slash. There's like, it's a
sorted.
Really bad. Yeah. Like, someone just like slashed his chest. I'm going to tell you right now, if Tom Savini has ever seen this movie, I bet he's horrified at these special.
Oh, yeah. You spit on the ground.
It's just like, and I mean, like, this is a main character. Like, it's not just,
we're
in the middle of it now. I should be seeing character deaths, especially important ones.
I was kissing Jamie Lee Curtis not fucking 15 minutes ago.
And now here's where I just want to throw out here that I'm pretty convinced the movie makes an attempt to tell you that Doc had a thing for Mo.
Yes.
Because he's trying to get the fucking Jamie Lee to break up with him, all that shit. And then when this dude is dead, he is cradling this man and weeping and screaming.
When he was like saying, like, if Jamie Lee leaves, like, we'll always have each other.
And I mean that.
Exactly.
Like, he has like a follow-up, like, and I'm dead fucking serious, Mo.
Yeah.
We can be lovers.
Look me in the eyes. Put the parrot mask down. Look me in the eyes.
So it's a sort of a little bit progressive. Of this movie, and also the black guy dies second.
Well, that's not bad. Not so bad.
One step at a time, progress.
Exactly. Oh, fuck shit. You know what? Let's kill Eduardo off the train first. So let's get him done, and then, you know, then he's second. How about that?
Hey, Mo, you know those 4 to 6 times we've hooked up? I wasn't joking 3 out of the 6 times. I was the first 3. I was totally that was funny.
That
was
college
a funny
prank.
Yeah, college.
The first 3 total hilarious pranks.
Yes,
the last one though.
You came in my mouth, prank. It's a classic Doc prank.
Got me. Oh man, but what's funny is nobody fucking believes Doc when he starts screaming right here because of all the pranks.
Yes.
And he's got to be like, he's bleeding, you bastards. Like it's fucking Saving Private Ryan.
I love big tough guy that shows up in the middle of the movie who doesn't have a name, who's like, oh, wants to fight him. He's like, this is one of your fucking pranks, Doc. I swear to God, you and me are going to go round and round.
Is that the same guy that later when they're like, oh, the magician's the killer and this dude like comes up, I'm going to fuck that guy's day up. Yeah. The conductor has to be like, here, son, take this huge axe. Do you think you could take a man's life? I did in Korea several times, but that's me.
All right, nice. Boy, you want to go toe-to-toe with a magician? Good luck. You better hope there's no mirrors in the room. You just better hope that in this room, when you're going to fight a magician, there are no mirrors.
If he could pull a quarter out of an ear, what could he pull next?
Pull your soul out of your body.
Dude, it might be a good horror movie, The Magician.
Mm-hmm. Dude, totally.
It's like you get like a harbinger of doom being like, he could pull a quarter out of an ear. What is he going to pull next? What is he going to pull next?
Dude, and it cuts to a fucking chest rip.
Yeah.
Pulls a heart out. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
He pulled my grandmother's heart from behind my ear. Holy shit, my grandmother's dead. What?
The magician. He's going to make your future disappear.
Yes. That'd be a great movie. Mm-hmm.
The magician, he's going to cut your summer in half.
Yes.
The magician, abracadabdi.
Abracadabdi.
All the kids are saying it. The kids are just saying it every day in school.
Dude, get abracadabdi to replace 6-7. I'll give you $1,000.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, put some work into that.
So Doc's all upset that his possible crush Mo has been, I guess, stabbed to death. So he's dead, and Doc freaks out and pulls the emergency brake. And this dude, the conductor's like, well, where's Walter? Should have pulled the brake by now. Yeah. And we gotta go. And that dude's just missing.
Yes.
The fucking guy driving the car, the train is missing.
Yeah. I would like just some of the, like, I understand, like, you're not gonna show me everything. Show me a little bit, like, the conductor being like, hey, Reg, that you? Rah! Yep. You know, that kind of a scene.
Exactly. Like, he's knocking on the fucking door. Like, hang on, I'm putting some more coal on the thing.
I'd also like some shots of the train more, honestly.
Yeah,
totally. Exterior shots.
Because when they stop the train right here, it is funny, the conductor, they're trying to, like, bring this thing to him. He's like, stop, damn you! Yeah. Which is really good. But then, yeah, we're sort of outside. We see the train sort of slow down. Yeah. It's a real train. Pretty cool. They're standing outside of it and whatnot.
You got a train. Fucking film it. I mean, they do stand outside it in blankets for a second. But
yes.
Yeah. Well, this is what he's like. All right, you know, everybody, he kind of lets everybody know what's going on. And it's like, we have to go forward. I just stay with your friends and this, that, and the other thing.
Man, how about a sequence on top of the train? You get a fan out, do rear projection. Mm-hmm.
You could totally do that in a way that's not hyper expensive. Yeah. I bet you could have figured it out. You know what? Maybe take some money from the fucking magician part of the budget.
I don't know, dude.
Maybe just 5 minutes less of magic. Yeah,
just concentrate on some movie magic that you want to make. So the conductor gets everybody off so they can search all the cars. What you don't see, though, and it cuts back and you realize they've already been informed, you don't see the crowd of kids be told there's been murders on the train.
No, you don't. Yeah.
You just cut back and they're all like frazzled. And the guy said, calm down, calm down. You hear some girl like, someone was killed. And I was like, why would you not show us the crowd learning of what's going on?
That speech type of thing would have been a scene.
No,
you guys are leaving scenes on the table.
Well, that's the thing. The minute the Mo thing happens, you're like, oh, this thing is just crashing. Like, that is such a major fucking blunder. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with the movie after that.
Because Ben Johnson, you give him like a one shot of just like, ladies and gentlemen, I just want, you kids are having a fun night tonight. Yeah. I just wanted to let you know two of your friends are dead, and I don't know how to. You could even do like a, you know, I was in Korea, I've seen this before, and blah, blah, blah.
Yep. Killer amongst us, we're going to have to use the buddy system.
Yes.
Just like I used in Korea.
But so this is where Hart Bachner is like, they realize, like, okay, now Doc and Elena are the only living people.
Yeah.
And she says to him, she's like, Doc, what do we have in common with all the people that have been killed? It's definitely this dude that we sexually humiliated 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Doc locks the two of them like in his compartment or whatever. And he's really fucking throwing Jamie Lee Curtis around in this scene, like really fucking roughing her up because she doesn't want to be locked in there with him. And then,
he also like breaks the locks of most of the doors, but not all of the doors. And that's just, you got to go all or nothing.
If you're gonna do both. Yeah. It's a weird, it's two rooms.
Yeah.
And I think there's a connecting door is the deal. So like he only gets the lock on the one door. She escapes, I think, is what happens here.
I think she realizes that, oh, I know who it is. It's the magician.
Yes.
Or,
yeah.
Kenny, he said he took magic or something. She runs out. And this is when Hart Bachner gets got, which again, this should be like the big kill. This is,
it's the biggest struggle, I guess.
Yes.
It's a cool struggle scene. Like, and the tension here, I think, is actually really cool. Like Hart Bachner is like, you see him looking at different parts of the compartment and checking them and whatever. And then he sits down like, oh, and then he's sitting and in his direct line of sight is the under part of the bed. And he's like, oh fuck, I didn't check under that bed. And when he goes up, this dude is under the bed that he's on and does a good ankle grab and knocks this guy down. And then we just get this big close quarters fight, which is pretty cool. He's not killing this guy with a newspaper, though, so it's not totally Jason Bourne.
And it's a good, like, letting you know where this is going, because there's a hand with nail polish on it. He goes, Mitchie, is that you? And then he gets murdered. So you
hear like
no.
this switchblade noise happens, which is pretty sweet.
And again, I would like a little bit more there, but like you were at least letting him know that either it could be a woman, or more than likely it's just some sort of
a psycho riff. Really.
A psycho, really? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, so Alana's trying to like show the conductor this like yearbook picture to be like, you know, this is the guy or whatever, and then you know, the magician being in Doc's quarters, you know, you got to come find him or whatever, and then. They go and they're looking around and like, this is a bloody ass train compartment.
Yes.
Like, the actual kills are not here, but the aftermath they put a lot of work into, which is nice, I guess. And all you can glean is like, wow, so this guy was really killed. Oh, like man. He got super fucking
killed.
Right,
he falls out of the bed compartment and then
whatever,
the fake head.
Whatever happened over there, I would have loved to seen that. Oh, this over here, I would love to see all this blood. Broken chair, that would have been great to see. I would have loved to see that.
I don't know if this is here, but like when Jamie Lee gets Prez, and she's like, I know who did it or something. And maybe it's here, maybe it's a little later, because it's a lot of like going back and forth with the conductor. Her and Prez go to the conductor and he goes, looks at both of them and he's like, either you know how to shovel coal, which I think is the funniest line in the movie, because it's like, oh, we're so fucked right now.
We're not going to be able to get out of here unless one of you kids can use a shovel.
All right.
Do you know?
Mr. President, you're going to have to shovel coal.
Anyone know how to drive a train? Because we are just up a creek right now. I mostly sell RVs is the thing.
But do you know how to shovel is like,
it's very funny.
Do you know how to walk? There's
a helicopter has to do a drop off of a fucking conductor in the middle of the night.
Oh, emergency conductor?
Yeah, emergency conductor. Get him in there.
So Elena is being shown to a separate cabin at this point because, the body falls out. Then his head rolls out after it. The head looks fucking terrible.
Awful.
It looks like it was frozen. It's really
terrible.
So they're like, okay, this red cap guy who they are like the secret employees of the train that only come out when the train stops right here.
And the porters, I guess you'd call them.
Right. Yeah. Red cap guy. Yeah, that's what they call them. Like Amtrak and shit. It's like the red cap service. But yeah, so this dude is like, okay, here, we can put you in here. And he's like, wow, looks like they haven't used this compartment in years. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Could we have had more students buy tickets to the train party?
And he's like, oh, it's a little dusty, but it's okay. Like, if it's not, wait, so has no one been in here in years?
That's what he thinks, but I don't see how that's possible.
That compartment burned down 30 years ago.
If no kid is going to be in it, why do I have to clean it? Yes. Come on now.
It is pretty funny when he's like, oh, no sheets or pillowcases. I can get you those if you want them. And she's like, just get the fuck out of here.
I need to sleep.
Which also, like, Jamie Lee, the move is be in the room with all of the kids. It's going to be annoying because they're going to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
But that is the move. Why are you by yourself?
And the good news is the guy who was playing pranks, he's gone.
Yes.
You don't got to worry about Prank Man no more. He's gone for good.
But we do have Jock Man, who they're convinced at this point that it's I almost said Hasselhoff Copperfield.
Yes.
So they're like, okay, everybody get out of the car, move to this car. We're sealing off the magician's car here. And so this big jock guy comes up. He's like, oh, is he in there? Let me at him, man. Give me that axe. Let me at him or whatever. And he's like, all right, boy, before you go in there, I just want you to do one thing. We should go over there. Look at the bodies of all your dead friends. and then think if you still want to do this. Yeah. And the guy's just sheepishly like, here's your axe back, mister.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to get this train moving. We're going to get it over. We blocked off that magician. We're going to suck him right out of the airlock.
This magician will be airlocked, you see. Dude, that'd be great. He's getting sucked out the train car ass first.
Awesome. And she's not as strong on the ground like this, but it's something else.
And we're going to have to nuke the magic castle from orbit. That's the only way to be sure. It's the only way.
But you know that trouble's afoot here because the red cap guy that was supposed to be watching Jamie Lee has just been run through with another sword. And this point, we've been reminded that Copperfield has a sword box trick back there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, definitely the magician,
and
you know,
Kenny
happening.
Is dressed as Mitchy in the witch outfit that she was in. She has a witch mask that Kenny is now wearing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot this whole sequence where he's dressed up as Mitchy. Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, to stop it, I just remembered about the Wizard of Gore. There sort of was a magician horror film.
Oh, Wizard of Gore, you said?
Yes, years and years ago. This one would be dumber and more fun.
The one we're planning, yes,
isn't that
of course.
Herschel Gordon?
I believe it is.
Yeah. What is The Wizard of Gore? Is it like a 90s deal?
Or no.
70s. Oh, it was 1970 like on the dot. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Herschel Gordon Lewis? Yeah, is that what you said? Yeah.
Yep.
That checks out.
I saw it years ago and it just sprung into the mind.
You know, it's a pretty cool, it's more of a witch movie. Simon, King of the Witches. Go check it out.
What is that?
It's like a swinging 70s, like, Satanist movie.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah.
Never heard of that one. That's mm-hmm. cool.
Anybody of note in it?
No. Simon, King of the Witches is the name of the movie. But it's based on the adventures of this guy that...
Buckaroo Banzai.
Poke Runyon was his name.
Poke Runyon?
Yes, an occultist of the 70s.
No, that was one of Doug's fake names, right?
Look, it's a fun Wikipedia. Go on Poke Runyon's Wikipedia later.
Okay. First.
Sounds like a character.
Mm-hmm.
Cool little detail when Jamie Lee's like uncomfortable being in the cabin by herself. She's like trying to find something that she could use as a weapon. And she opens the closet and she takes a hanger. Which I think is pretty funny because she pokes Michael Myers in the eye with a hanger and she's hiding in the closet. So here we go. Dude breaks in, ready to kill Jamie Lee. There's Jamie Lee sleeping, all curled up on the little couch there. This dude starts going to town. Uh-oh, you just got fooled, my friend. She's been in previous slasher adventures. She knows how to take care of herself.
Yes.
She's hiding behind. She fucking stabs this dude in the shoulder with the sword. And the guy does a really good... Ah! I love the sound it makes.
And you know what? You know what he did to your buddy Doc, who you hate so much? Just do it to him. Cut his head off. Let's call it a fucking day here. Yes.
Totally. Just one big swing. Let's get this over with, Mrs. Voorhees style. Absolutely.
Because now we're in a 20-minute scenario because he almost... She defeats him and he almost falls off the train at some point. Like,
right.
She thinks he falls off the train.
She's like kicking him
out
like the side.
But then you see like his hand is still hanging on there.
Yeah,
and then,
he gets back up.
She's like resting. You see his face out the window.
Yeah,
that's
it's
a, cool
it's a
shot.
New mask now.
The little, the little turtle in the cloud brings him up to the top of the fucking.
Oh, Lockitude did it.
The guy fucking drops. I'm sorry. The guy drops off the fucking. He's supposed to be on the ground, but no, he gets on the top magically. Magicians.
During that fight, though, before she kicks him off, he fucking pulls an earring off her lobe.
Yeah, that's a tough
Dude, brutal. Mm-hmm. Fucking brutal. And good Jamie Lee earning her Scream Queen nickname here. A lot of great screaming.
Now I'm just remembering that the black phone, that guy was a magician too, wasn't he?
He was also a magician. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really see many good.
The grabber is a magician.
Yeah, you don't see many good tricks he does, though.
No,
you
know? I mean.
No, I made those children disappear.
That's a pretty good trick.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it's sort of like this. Oh, the other thing, though, before she kicks him off the side, I think is the brutal. She finds those like holders.
Oh, is that here?
Like
yes,
a diner
right.
Where like they put receipts down on it. It's like the big pin. She pulls that off and jams it in this dude's face, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Well, she's locked herself into the cage that is like Carney's office.
I don't know why these train guys need a cage. I guess maybe for like
money or something.
Robbery. Yeah. If you're carrying money on it.
Yeah. Like the Old West happens again.
Yeah, what if Jesse James and his rotten brother Frank show up?
That would be a nice twist to this.
Yeah. Really great. The conductor comes in like right after she kicks him off the train. She just goes, "He killed Mo," and this dude it's been a long night for this guy. I get it. But he just goes, yeah, we know.
Jesus Christ.
We got to fucking catch up with the movie.
We all know. Let's go. Can we end this? Can we go home yet?
So you see the bloody shot of the arm or the shot of the bloody arm hanging on still. And then this conductor goes and tells Vanity, hey, by the way, might want to start getting a cup of coffee and waking up. We'll be back in 15 minutes. We're going to get to the station.
Promise you all the movie's almost over.
End in the movie, folks. End in the movie, folks. End in the movie.
Next stop, end of the movie.
Getting my coat on.
Alana goes back to the magician's car here, and she finds, like, the book, and she's looking through his little book or whatever. And then, uh-oh, there's David Copperfield dead in his own sword box.
And I guess you can't – I understand you can't show that because he's been the red herring, but it's pretty cool. I want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it. Totally. Yeah. I want to see it.
But it's kind of funny because she thinks she has solved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought it was the magician, but now the magician's dead. And there's this hilarious moment of Jamie Lee running down the hallway, and she just goes, I don't even know who it is anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, but, like, you know, of course.
Roger lied to me. He said it was going to be the magician. It wasn't. He's dead.
She runs back to the office room, and there's Charlie sitting at the little conductor's break table or whatever. And she's like, oh, Charlie, thank God. I thought I had the movie solved. Charlie, and here's our boy. Dressed up like Charlie, and he's got this mask on, and the fucking, the hand grab, dude.
It's pretty cool.
Really, really cool. And, you know, it's like, you haven't changed. Like, he starts talking, and you're like, okay, what's going on here? Really great thing, because she's trying to, like, play it up, like, oh, Kenny, you know, it was a mistake. Oh, I know you like magic, blah, blah, whatever. And he's like, oh, I'm better than that magician.
Yes.
He's got some line about he's better than Copperfield. It's fucking great. And or she says it first. That's what it is. She's like, you're a better magician than he is. And he goes, I know, because he doesn't even know how to cut a woman's body into pieces.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of good. No, that's a decent line.
It's real funny. Wait, real funny.
When did you do that, Kenny? And can I see it?
No, it's off screen. It's really exciting. It's off screen. It's really cool.
Yeah, I did some crazy things to your friend Mitchie. It would have been awesome if everybody could have seen it.
Interesting.
But, sorry. No money in the budget there.
And she's like, I'm sorry. He's like, kiss me.
And she does more open mouth kissing here.
Yeah.
And then he starts having, because the kiss me or whatever, he starts having a flashback freak out to the four-post bed thing. And he gets wrapped up in, is he by a coat rack or something? He's wrapped up in something here and falls over. I don't know what's going on.
And then here comes Carney with the shovel.
Dude, this fucking shovel hit.
It's great. I think this
shot. This death is great. This death right here.
Yes, it's great.
Primo.
It's awesome. He goes right out the fucking train.
You just see this dummy go off a bridge. And then the best part about it is he almost makes it into the water, but halfway doesn't. And this dude's body just breaking on this ice.
Yes. Oh, and then the body flips into the water, and one boot is left right there on the, not sure, but on the ice drift.
Yeah.
Incredible shot.
It's a really so cool moment. It's really and again, the atmosphere. I love a snowy horror movie. You know, I'm just a sucker
for it.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what's awesome, I think, and kind of saves the movie for me a little bit, is that this body is going down the river and the trains just go, and that's the end of the movie.
Yes, there's nothing.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're fucking done. Bless See them. You later, Kenny. You're Bye-bye. Fucking going down the river,
it's
dude.
It's not Jamie Lee with the blanket on the back of an ambulance with a cup of coffee. Like, I can't believe it was Kenny the whole time.
Nothing.
No unpacking of it at all. Just. You don't even see the station we get to.
No.
You think we'd pull into the station
exactly.
And that'd be the ending.
Nope. You see, like, the cops, you know, you see, like, the lights going on the squad cars or something.
See, look at that. Nope. You don't even need the cop cars. You can just do the lights. Lights on the train.
Just you have some blue and white lights flashing as they pull. Oh, okay.
All of Carney's RVs are waiting for him. Oh, my God, we were so worried.
Please don't sell us, Papa. but that is the end of Terror Train, a sort of New Year's Eve themed slasher movie. Go around the horn here for some final thoughts and potential recommendations. Eric Siska.
It's not for me. The thing is, I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I just feel like the execution falls flat. I don't know who's responsible, but there's probably a few people. Writer, director, producer.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone really associated with the movie could have done
it? It's just more explored.
I don't know. It just, you know, I was excited to watch it because it sounds up my alley, slasher and all. But I just feel like I've seen this done better by hundreds of other movies.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris Cabin.
Yeah, not for me either. I think there was too many things going on. You can't really focus on just a slasher movie. Oh, it's got to be a mystery movie. Oh, it's got to be a magician's movie. Oh, it's got to be, you know, it's just too many things that you have your, and it's only, I mean, this is the good part is it is barely 90 minutes. It's a short movie. So that is the good part. That's the other whole star I give it and the two stars I give it.
There you go.
The rest of it, it's like, I mean, like, it's nice seeing Jimmy Lee do this kind of movie. I had just actually seen a really good, not horror movie called Love Letters with Jamie Lee Curtis from this era, from 83.
Okay.
By Amy Holden Jones of Slumber Party Massacre. And it's a really good, it's good to see her away from this. And it's funny that I come rocketing back to this and I'm like, oh, this is what got her all the money. This was just doing this kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because you said Prom Night is the same year. This, The Fog. Too.
This Prom Night and The Fog are all came out the same year.
Love The Fog. This and Prom Night, not so much.
Yeah, yeah. Good coked out dancing scene in Prom Night.
Great.
Though.
The dancing is great in Prom Night.
Steve Sadak.
Still never saw Prom Night. No, I can't recommend this one. It's atmosphere is pretty good. Idea setup's okay. It just, the sluggish pace is what really does this movie in, and not really any payoff ever.
It needs more coal.
Shovel some more coal in this thing. Let's get
more
this
fuel.
Fucking train moving. This terror train moving. It doesn't really do so. I think that there's, it's just now. I mean, maybe it's an interesting in our magician horror subgenre.
Right.
It's an interesting entry, but not a really fruitful one, is what I would say.
No. You know, it's the lightest of recommends from me. You know, I'm a fucking slasher piece of shit. It's fine. You know, and exactly. Like Jamie Lee of it all is the big Sal. I love her, and any chance to see her on screen here. I will say, I believe they were Tubi originals. There is a remake of this and a sequel to the remake that I've yet to check out. But they're like recent. They're like within the last year or so. So I wonder if there's, we have some on-screen gore, you know,
maybe we use the train a little bit better. I don't know. We'll see.
Is it like the wave of like Terrifier / like Popeye's Revenge / Pop? Is it super gory? I wonder as compared to this.
I don't think that they are reels for VFX artists to show other better filmmakers. But they appear to be like, you know, just like your regular slasher movie. But I don't know. I haven't seen it.
We'll see.
We'll check them out. But that is going to do it for this episode on Terror Train. And thus concludes the year 2025.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
They couldn't say it in the fucking movie, but we'll say it here.
Right, yeah, they couldn't be bothered to shout it in the movie.
That'd be great. Here's the ending. He knocks him off the train and he goes, look at that, midnight. Happy New Year.
Right there.
Absolutely.
All the kids come off the train and line up in choral formation.
Exactly. But it has been a raucous year. You can catch up on what is just the start of season 16 here. But if you want more episodes like this without commercials, head over to that Patreon, patreon.com/wehatemovies, where, yes, indeed, episodes just like this completely ad free every Tuesday. But it doesn't stop there. Of course, if you're not familiar with this show, we have a whole family of shows over on that Patreon, which again is patreon.com/wehatemovies. And because it's December, we've been doing all sorts of stuff for the holidays, including a really fucked up Once in a Lifetime.
Oh, Once in a Lifetime. We're doing Hot Frosty, of course. Us four experts on the subject are here to talk about whether or not you can fuck snow. This is important. You know, we took the research in there and we really had a number with it. It's a really great, funny episode.
Absolutely. And a few weeks back, it was a snowman week because the very next day we released this month's Animation Damnation.
Yes, it was the Rankin and Bass's Frosty the Snowman from 1969. And us four, researchers got in there and we figured out whether or not you could fuck snow. Kind of the same episode over again.
You can play with it. Less fucking. The fucking is where it all goes off.
See, the first, you know, the Hot Frosty, that's our live action episode. Mm. Where we're animated in the Animation Damnation.
It's cute. It's cuter that way.
But Eric Siska, just a couple weeks ago, we also had some interesting developments on the Gleep Glossary.
That's right. We did an episode on, you know, the thing is around the holidays, you think about, you know, friends you've lost over the years. So we put ourselves in Luke Skywalker's cockpit to remember dear old departed Biggs Darklighter.
That's right, the townie friend who lost his life.
That's right. Happy New Year.
And the very next day after we released that, there was also a holiday-friendly Melro 210.
Oh, well, it's a Melro.
Yeah,
I guess.
Melro place.
Where,
yeah.
You know, it's, you know, the fires are still going hot on the Joe saga of where is this baby and who deserves it at this point. I think, honestly, the courts at this point is where I would be if it's not going to Joe, I say the courts get it at this point.
Absolutely.
But also a Christmas episode in which we see Heather Locklear having to deal with quite an interesting version of the Christmas Carol,
she
I would say.
She gets Scrooged by her dead boss.
The guy who killed himself over her.
This month on The Nexus, which just released last week, we had a great conversation about one episode where it's the animated series and they get kidnapped by pink elephants that are hyper-intelligent. But on the TNG, you better believe Data's dating.
Oh, yes. Good God. Oh, this is Data trying to fuck a lady on the ship, and it doesn't go so well.
No, really, it really does not go well. But that was sort of like a Christmas treat for us to be able to watch Data in love.
So, yes.
And we also had a Christmas treat for us. We just did a commentary on the King of Kong. Commentary.
A fistful of quarters.
Yes.
So if you are listening to this on the day it comes out, which is the 30th of December, that commentary came out yesterday. Hey. You can get it right now on patreon.com.
Fuck you, Branka. Fuck you.
A lot of fun talking about Billy Mitchell and all the video game weirdos.
Oh, Billy Mitchell, that coward, that total coward, dude. You'll hear us talk all over that awesome documentary.
I think he's great. Don't sue us.
Are you worried that's going to happen?
He seems powerful.
It's the hair. You got tricked by the
hair. I got tricked by the hair.
God damn it.
He looks like a magician, actually.
Son of a bitch.
He does look like he should do magic. That's actually correct. You know, Hollywood, Florida could use some more magic. We get Billy Mitchell on the case there. Mm-hmm. But while this is the final episode of 2025, just like we've been doing for the last 15 plus years now, we got a whole new episode for you coming right at the start of 2026. Steve Sadek, in the month of movies we just caught last year, what are we going to be talking about first?
Oh, it's a movie nobody wants us to do. It's The Family Plan Part 2.
Oh, dude.
Apple Plus's Mark Wahlberg sequel. Man, man.
Yeah.
Man.
It has to happen.
And gotta say, we're doing this one first, so it's like closest to the holidays, mm-hmm. because you guessed it, folks, for no reason, this sequel is a Christmas movie. Kind of. So until next week or next year with Mark Wahlberg and the rest of his clan, I've been Andrew Jupin,
Steven Sadak,
Eric Siska,
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy and Happy New Year.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.